let it shine, let it shine.
Won't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan it out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Shine it over Helena, I'm gonna let it shine. Shine it.
Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Turn our Bibles this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this day, and we ask you, Lord, to please bless this time and show us, Lord, how we need to be a light. We thank you for the Dishkostoff family, Lord, and preparing our hearts. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for our sins, for providing everything necessary for an eternal home in heaven, and how you loved us, how you died for us, how you were crucified for us, Lord, and how you rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. We pray, God, we can be what you want us to be and live a life pleasing unto you. In the name of Jesus, amen. We'll take our Bibles and we'll go to John chapter 1. And hold our place in 2 Corinthians, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. How many things? All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Go back to 2 Corinthians, if you would. We're looking at the light this morning, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, the true light, Jesus Christ. We're looking at the light within the vessel first. We looked at the vessel, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The light within the vessel. It's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ in verse 4. It's the light that is hid. Verse 3. But if this gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ is hid to those that are lost. They are without excuse. because of the creation that God has provided for us. But this God of this world hath blinded their minds of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The light within the vessel is the light of the glorious gospel. It's the light that was hid, and this light was commanded to shine. We see the light first commanded to shine in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And in verse 2, the earth was without form and void and darkness. Hello, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. This light was first commanded during creation, and this light was commanded regarding salvation. Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. Like the family sang here this morning, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not to be hid under a bushel basket. Not to be blown out. But to shine over the light, over Helena, I'm going to let it shine. Look at verse 6 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Not only in creation, salvation, but as a reflection in the face of Jesus Christ, regarding to, pertaining to Jesus Christ. We are to reflect the divine glory of Christ. When Moses went up to Mount Sinai and communed before God, and the law was given to him, he came from Mount Sinai unto the people, and they couldn't look at him because he had seen the face of God. And he reflected that divine glory, and they put a veil over his face. We've seen more or less the face of God. When we trusted him as Savior, we see what he's done for us in our lives, and we should reflect the divine glory to those amongst us, to those around us, to those that we come in contact with, to those we like or dislike. It matters not. We're to be a light shining forth before men. That's the light that's within the vessel here. Look at verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure. It's the light of the glorious gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is a vessel? It's a hollow container that contains something. We contain this light. It's within us. The Spirit of Christ resides in us. Jesus Christ said, when I go, I will send a comforter, and he will dwell within you. And that's the light, the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that resides within this earthen vessel. And this light that's in the earthen vessel is the power of God for illumination. We need to illuminate others with the Word of God. We're His body, we're His arms, we're His feet, we're His mouth. We illuminate the world for the cause of Christ. Illuminate the world, letting them know that everyone has a need for salvation. For we're dead. We're born spiritually dead, without a home in heaven, without a father, because of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and only by trusting and believing that Jesus Christ finished the work for salvation do we have eternal life. Crying out unto God, asking Him to forgive us of our sin, and believing and trusting that He took our sin away on the cross. And then he verified that he took away our sin on the cross by rising again from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the grave. It's the power of God for salvation, this light that's in earthen vessels. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. This earthen vessel, what about this earthen vessel? This is an earthen vessel because it's made of the same elements that pottery pots are. It's dirt. It's made 65% to 90% of us is water. 99% of this earthen vessel contains six elements. 65% oxygen, 18% carbon, 10% hydrogen, 3% nitrogen, 1.5% calcium, 1% phosphorus, and all kinds of myriads of other elements and trace elements and electrolytes and whatnot. But within this earthen vessel contains the heart. What we're here talking about this morning is not just this earthen vessel itself, but the heart that's contained in this vessel. The heart is the thoughts and the feelings. It's who we are. Let's hold our place. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart is who we are. It's the soul. If we were to take this away, there'd still be us there. We still exist. We'll exist in either heaven or hell for eternity. And this earthen vessel houses the heart. Before we're born again, we're a two-part being, a bipartite, which is a two-part being. We have a body and a soul. Then the Spirit gets born again. It makes us a three-part being, a tripart being, and we're made in the image of God. God is a triune being. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when we get born again, that Spirit that dwells there, that's there to be, it made alive. It's born again. We become body, soul, and spirit. And this earthen vessel houses the heart. It houses the soul. And this earthen vessel will be resurrected. Jesus Christ talks of the resurrection of the just and the unjust. Every earthen vessel, saved or lost, will be resurrected. The question is, what resurrection? There's a resurrection of the just, the first resurrection, and there's a resurrection of the unjust. There's a resurrection unto everlasting life, and a resurrection unto condemnation. And at the great white throne judgment, God will judge those who their earthen vessels will be resurrected after the 1,000-year reign, and God will judge them for their works. Not their work of believing and trusting in Jesus Christ, but their works, even their good works. But they will still be resurrected. And then their earthen vessels will be cast into the lake of fire, where the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Once again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've looked at the earthen vessel. We've looked at what's inside the earthen vessel. Verse 6. For God commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. How can we shine light from this earthen vessel? We're commanded to, but how? Let's take our Bibles and go to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. We have a man named Gideon, chosen by God to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Midianites and the Amalekites. And God's given Gideon instruction how to win this battle against the Midians and the Amalekites. In Judges chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves." Vaunt means to boast with pride. "Lest Israel boast with pride themselves against me, saying, we did it ourselves. Mine own hand has saved me." Verse 3, "Now therefore go to, proclaim to the ears of the people, saying, whoso is fearful and afraid, let them return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned the people 22,000, there remained 10,000. In verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men," he had these men drink. And we know the story, the people who drank, and like I do, out of a creek, I get down on all fours and slurp it up. Hopefully there's a little waterfall there and you don't have to bend down quite so far. But then there was 300 men who went like this and drank. And those 300 men were chosen by God to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Amalekites and the Midianites. How many here drink out of a creek like this? How many go like this? Really? Good. I never could. I got too much air, and then it gave me an air bubble right there, and you could feel the air bubble go down. So, just different ways of doing things. These 300 men. Now, look at verse 16 of Judges chapter 7. "And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put a trumpet in every man's hand with an empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look unto me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, ye shall do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came to the outside of the camp at the beginning in the middle of the watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands, and the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers held in the lamps of their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon, and they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and the host ran and cried and fled. What was their battle strategy? Verse 18. Their battle strategy first included that they were in unity. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me. Everyone did the same thing. They were in unity. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with them came to the outside of the camp in the beginning and the middle watch. They put newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. And verse 20, and the three companies in unity blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers. They brake the pitchers in verse 19. And the third part of their strategy, besides being in unity and breaking the pitchers, and they stood every man, verse 21, they stood every man in his place. Now, can you imagine these pitchers? They were not come over from a boat in China or Japan or wherever and all made exactly the same out of a punch or whatnot. These pitchers were earthen vessels. And imagine they came from different clays as they traveled around. We've seen different kinds of clay, different colors of clay. And then we see a guy make a pitcher, and maybe he's got a hangnail and he's got a line going up that pitcher up and down. Follow me? Maybe some other guy made another pitcher and he makes a big down here and wide here, and maybe another guy cuts out the thing and plops on a handle for that pitcher. One might have a little dealie for two fingers. Someone may have made a pitcher with one for a big hand. like different size coffee cups. All these pitchers were different shapes. They were different colors. They were maybe fired differently. Maybe they had different kinds of glaze, but they were all pitchers. But maybe looked a little different. Maybe made a little different. Had some different, some might say, well, that's a discrepancy. That's a weakness, but they were all pitchers. Look at verse 16. And there was a lamp and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitcher. There was a lamp within every pitcher. There was a lamp within every imperfect pitcher. There was a lamp within every different pitcher. In verse 19, they broke these pitchers. Why did they break these pitchers? So that the light could shine forth. That was the battle strategy of Gideon. That was a battle strategy of the Lord. And I think it should be the same battle strategy here. We're in a spiritual battle. And how do we let our light shine forth? Number one, we know that God put a lamp within us. All that can name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior can say, hey, I've got the Holy Spirit that resides in me and gives me the peace that passes all understanding. I have the Holy Spirit that resides within and I have comfort. I have the Holy Spirit of Christ that lives within me. And lets me know when I do wrong. And He speaks to me and He guides me. I have the lamp. I have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ residing in me. But we can only let our light shine if we're in unity. If we all have the same priority, and that's to see souls saved for the cause of Christ. The same battle strategy that Gideon had, we need to be in unity. We need to stand in place and not waver. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, therefore, brethren, stand fast, secure, don't move. Only let your conversation or behavior be as it becometh to the gospel of Christ in Philippians chapter 1, that ye stand fast in one spirit. You stand fast in unity in one spirit, the spirit of Jesus Christ, the spirit of Almighty God, with one mind, striving together for faith of the gospel. We need to stand fast. We need to be in unity. And we need to be broken. We need to be broken. When was the last time we wept over someone that we knew who did not know Jesus Christ as Savior? When was the last time we were concerned with the eternal well-being of one that we come into contact with? When was the last time we were broken over someone who had no hope, who had no joy, no future, no love, not knowing the love of God? We need to be in unity, we need to stand fast, and we need to be broken. And if you'll forgive me just a little bit, I still have not mastered this phone. I'll be darned. Here we go. Well, some of us may say we don't know the Bible good enough. I can't be the light that I should be because I haven't been in church as long as everyone else has. I don't have the doctrine in hand. All kinds of excuses not to be a light. This is a friend of ours, Austin. Austin got saved this summer. Austin's an 18-year-old kid. And Austin says, I want to know my Bible. Well, why is that, Austin? Because he says, I don't want my friends to go to hell. Austin texted me the other day. And Austin says this, the Lord has been blessing me lately in many ways. And I've had the chance to talk about it with a lot of people. And my little brother is working on getting saved. And my friend Mike just got saved. I have been out of town almost every weekend, so I haven't been able to go to the old-fashioned Baptist church. That's the name of the Baptist church there. But he's supposed to be going this week. This is the first week I've been in my hometown since I've been back from Montana. And then he writes, praise God. He is the light and the only way. We don't have any excuse not to be a light to Helena, Montana. We don't have any excuse. We don't have any good reason. But we do need to ask forgiveness. We need to be in unity. And we need to stand fast on the promises of God and be broken so that the glorious gospel, the glorious light of Jesus Christ can shine forth unto others. Let's turn our Bibles one more time to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Maybe we're not broken. Maybe it's hid to the lost because we haven't broke our pitchers. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Maybe our lights don't shine because we refuse to be used by the Lord, and maybe our lights don't shine because we are not broken like we should be. Let's ask God this morning. We're going to have an invitation, and let's ask God this morning to help us be lights, to show us areas in our lives that we can shine forth the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe we need to ask God for forgiveness. If an 18-year-old kid that does not know his Bible, but's got a burden, he's broken for his friends. If he can be a light, what's wrong with me? There's not one of us here this morning that does not want to see our friends or family get saved. What's wrong with us if we haven't witness to them? Are we not broken? That's 394.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Amen. Jerry, Trudy. These are my friends, Jerry and Trudy. They moved from Butte, a month and a half ago? Two months ago.
Yeah. We were members of the First Baptist Church in Butte, and since we're coming here and we're going to leave here now, we'd like to be a member of this church.
Yep. And they're good. And so we're going to vote upon membership. Anyone here who would not be opposed but would have Jerry and Trudy be members of Liberty Baptist Church, would you raise an uplifted hand? Anyone opposed? Praise God. These are good people. And they have submitted, not that they even had to, but they just want to make sure. Trudy read all of our bylaws last Sunday after I gave them to her. And they agree with us. They're us. And there were some things that, as far as baptism is concerned, they don't care. They're submitting unto God, and they said, we'll just get baptized here. And so we'll have a baptism next Sunday. Not only these are brothers and sisters, but they're going to be members of Liberty Baptist Church. So after Brother Josh, would you pray? And then after Brother Josh prays, maybe we can walk up and welcome Jerry and Trudy into the body.
You guys are...